Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's 9:08 on this Tuesday morning, the 22nd day of April. I'm Andy Griffin. It's the Andy Griffin Show, and we've got a couple of St. George's finest. Our dispatchers are in today. Anna Lee, hi.
Hello.
Anna Lee Stoker and Julie Packer is here as well. Hi, Julie.
Hello.
You guys haven't been doing this very long, have you, this whole dispatch thing?
Yeah. Combined, no, not at all.
Combined 36 years of experience, or 34 or something like that.
Yes, so sir.
Impressive. Now, not individually, because that would make both of you old, but 22 for Anna Lee and
yes.
12, was it?
14.
Yep. Yeah, for Julie. So you guys have been doing this a while, and I'm guessing you've seen just about everything or heard just about everything there is to hear and see when it comes to dispatch at this point.
We say that, and then something,
and then something else happens.
We don't say that because then something new comes up, and you're like, wow, that's a first. That was fun.
Yeah. I actually, this morning while this other show was going, I Googled 20, I think it was the 22 dumbest questions ever asked to dispatchers, and some of them were pretty dumb, but I was thinking, I could read that, or I could just ask you guys. There have probably been some pretty silly things, like maybe little kids that called asking where their mommy is or stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah, we hear it all. Usually kids, they'll call and, like, prank us because they don't know that their phone can call 911. Usually it's, like, a disconnected cell phone. So every once in a while we'll get a prankster, but it's usually the ones that are not.
You usually get those calls from the kids when they've learned about 911 at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had a lesson about this at school.
Yes.
I think I'll test it.
Yes, they test it all the time.
There's somebody under the influence of something.
Oh,
they'll
boy.
Call in and chit-chat with us for a while.
Boy.
So
there was actually a story on the wire today about the incidences of DUIs that have gone up recently here in southern Utah. And I know you guys are kind of on the front lines of that kind of stuff. Have you seen that? Is there an uptick of people making very bad decisions, I guess, a way to put it?
Yeah, I would say yeah. We've had quite a few DUI blitz. UHP has come down quite a few times. Just holiday weekends. It's getting warmer. People are starting to get out a little bit more. So we definitely, it just comes with the weather. I feel like this time of year, it always kind of takes the spike up. So
yes, definitely. Depending on the time of the year, it definitely changes.
Now, before we get rolling, and there are a couple of topics I want to talk about, but let's learn a little bit more about you two. Anna Lee, now Julie says you're a grandma, but you don't look like a grandma.
Thank you.
So you got kids through your grandkids through marriage, right?
They're
not,
that's correct.
Technically biological grandkids. That's why you don't look like a grandma.
Thank you. Okay. Yes.
So, and do you have kids at home?
I do. I have a daughter, and she'll be a senior next year.
Oh, wow!
I know.
Senior year. I had the misfortune. My daughter was a senior during the COVID year, and they didn't have graduation, and it was kind of messed up.
Yeah, that is hard.
And I always say this. Look. Kudos to the people at Pineview and Washington County School District. They did what they could for the kids, what was allowed at the time with the policies and everything. But still, think about the idea of never having a graduation ceremony.
That would be sad.
That's sad.
That would
be
hard. Hard. For sure.
Yeah.
That's like the pinnacle, though. That's what you work for.
Yeah, exactly. The moment. You did. I did it. You know. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. That would be tough.
So, yes. And you've been dispatching for a long time now, 22 years?
22 years in August, yep.
What do you remember if you go back in time, think way back there a couple of decades ago, what drew you to this job? Was it, I just need a job, or was it something about this that made you wanted to do it?
So I had family members that were in law enforcement.
Okay.
And then I knew somebody that worked in dispatch and just got acquainted with it. And it seemed like a good job at the time. And then I got into the job and just fell in love with it. Being able to help somebody every single day is just something I've always wanted. I wanted to go into nursing. And then I started doing the schooling for nursing, and I was like, yeah, this is not for me.
I was in nursing.
You have to start at the very bottom.
The anatomy class.
All that stuff. Oh, yeah. I'm like, you know, this is not for me. So being able to put on that headset every day and make a difference and not have to touch anyone was pretty great.
Yeah.
So that was, I was fresh.
You touched them emotionally. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Spiritually.
But yeah, right out of high school, I just wasn't ready for the whole being a nurse and frontline things like that.
So I understand.
This was a good thing for me, and then I just fell in love with it and have loved it ever since.
I had an article on our website, 890kdxu.com, about how we are the first responders. A person there on, I mean, if you're, say your husband's, you know, cuts himself with a chainsaw and you watch this happen, you're the first one there before the authorities show up. And you guys are right there. You're like second responders almost, right after yes. the first and then second.
Yep.
And then the authorities come, the officials come. But, do you feel like that, you have literally had to save people's lives or at least keep them alive until, you know, the professionals could be there?
Absolutely. Yep. There's been several calls that I've had to help someone who's been trying to stab themselves or we've done CPR to save people. You really are the first of the first to hear the worst of the worst. And
that's not good.
That can be hard and it can be good because you can help save that person's life. So
How do you deal with the emotion of that? I mean, obviously there are times when you're not as successful as you would like to be. I've talked with many police officers and EMTs and fire professionals. They say, well, we kind of have a box and we have to do our job first. We put it over in this box and then we deal with it later. Is that kind of what you have to do as well?
Yes. And I feel like at some point you learn, at some point in your career, you learn that you've done everything that you can to help that person, whether it was successful or not. And knowing that I gave my all and no matter what the outcome was, I did my job mm-hmm. and my part of it. Sometimes there are going to be people that call in and things are going to have happen that there's just no changing it. Then the inevitable is going to happen. But
yeah.
if I can make a difference and do what I've been trained to do, that's kind of what's helped me through everything. Sure, there have been hard calls and calls that still, like, if I hear something that's similar, sure, it gives flashbacks and things like that. But I know that I've done everything in my training capability to do what I can for that person that's calling in.
And that has to be a driving force for you to make sure that you are trained and prepared. Because if someone calls and you're like, I don't know what to do, then you can't feel good about the end result, no matter what it is, because you're like, I wasn't really ready for that. So that's got to be really a motivator for you.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk with Julie for a minute. Julie, spotlight, yeah.
Spotlight.
And if you'll talk straight into that microphone.
Straight in.
Yeah, so we can hear your voice better. These are directional mics. So you don't have to be that close, but you do need to talk straight into it. But Julie is a resident of Southern Utah. What part of town do you live in?
Santa Clara.
Okay.
Small town still.
Okay. Are you a Snow Canyon girl? Did you go to Snow Canyon?
I did not.
No.
I moved down. Same with Annalie. Oh, okay. I was in nursing school, came down, and needed a job while I was in school and found dispatch and then met a boy from Santa Clara, and they don't leave Santa Clara
no,
if they're from here.
No.
So I'm here for life.
what high school did you go to?
Riverton.
Riverton.
North.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the Silver Wolves?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Riverton was not there when I lived. I actually went to Bingham High School my freshman year, and then they made West Jordan was brand new. I went to West Jordan after that.
Yeah. My dad taught at Bingham. So that's
nice,
fun.
Nice.
Yeah, good times.
It would be really weird if your dad had taught me all those years ago.
Yeah, that's not.
Probably not, though.
Making me feel old.
I was going to say, I'm probably your dad's age, so.
Maybe
a little younger, maybe. But all right, and you've got a husband and kids?
Husband and kids, four kids.
Four kids,
yep,
okay.
Four under 12.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
I'm not quite to the grandma phase, but I feel like
you got
it.
A while, yeah.
Oh, man, they wear me out. They're busy these days. I don't remember being that busy when I was younger,
but they
keep us on our toes for sure.
Well, I can tell you we're fresh empty nesters, my wife and I, just in the last year or so, and it's kind of nice. In the evening, you're like, do we have to go to a recital or a concert or game? No, we don't have to do anything. Actually, we got nothing.
Oh, what it would be like?
That is nice.
I don't even know.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
So, okay. So you've been a dispatcher for 14 years.
14. Yep. Annalie was one of my trainers. So
really?
I'd like to make her feel extra old for that.
It's fine. I'll take it.
She taught me everything I know.
I'm proud of it.
Nice.
It's great.
So tell us about the room. That you guys have a room, and I've seen pictures of it, but I've never been actually in your dispatch room. But
yep.
And you have computers.
Come visit.
I should. I've told you guys last time you were here, I said, this might be a good second career for me. You know,
You're on the radio all day. You just got to learn some 10 codes and phonetics, and you'll be good to
totally
go.
Totally do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it honestly, you guys have a lot of pressure on you because of the fact that you are the first, you know, the second, whatever it is. You hold people's lives in your hands somewhat.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I do that on the radio too much. If I say something stupid, I have to apologize later, but that's about it, you know.
That's a good thing about our training program, though, is we teach you everything you need to know.
It is so thorough. Yeah. And Annalie has done such a great job. She's actually our training supervisor and hiring supervisor. So she's done a great job kind of revamping it, especially last few years, and evolved it to make it so successful. And our turnover rate has just been incredible the last couple of years. And so we're very thorough and teach you everything and anything you need to know for any situation. Like you said, you know, you're holding people's lives. So you want to say at the end of the day, I am trained and I know what I'm doing, and we give everybody the tools to be able to do that. So I don't think there's a single person in our center that I wouldn't trust with my own life or my kids or anybody else, just because we're so thorough in our center with training and protocols and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome.
And I did want to make it clear, you guys are fully staffed right now. You are not hiring at the moment.
No, so we're not fully staffed, but we can only hire so many at a time.
Okay.
So we don't have any openings right now that we're taking applications for, unless you are working as a public safety dispatcher. We do have a lateral program, but that's the only one that we have open, and it's open until we're fully staffed. So we will be opening the applications probably in the fall to bring in more, but we've kind of hit our limit of what we can bring in right now. So
where we train on site, like sitting next to the person, it's not like a classroom setting. You train with us sitting
at
the computer.
Live on the job.
It's on the job. Yeah. So we only have so many that are able to train at any given time. I mean, obviously with staffing and things like that. So we have to kind of gauge it where we're at in staffing levels and things like that. So, yep.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of the topics you guys wanted to talk about, important programs. Let's talk about reverse 911. Now, when you say reverse 911, a lot of people are like, wait, I know what 911 is, but what is reverse 911? What does that
mean? Reverse 911. So this is something that we are trying so hard to get out into the public, make it aware, everybody aware of it, because it's such an important tool for us, and we are using it more and more. So it's our way of being able to inform the public of anything. I know there's so many social media websites and pages and people constantly asking questions or, hey, what's going on? There's this and this. If we need you guys to know something or we want the public to know something, we will get the information out. And this is how we do that. It's a system that we use. It's called Reverse 911 Everbridge. You can download the app or go to 911register.com and get your information in. And if we ever need to get a hold of you or somebody in your area, whether it's a missing person or a water contamination or boil or, you know, a crime scene safety issue or shelter in place or something like that. Hey, we've got helicopters out searching for a suspect. Stay in your house until we know the situation a little bit better. We're able to send out a mass message instead of sending four or five officers who are needed at the crime scene or something to investigate, knocking on every single door. I mean, it would take hours and hours to notify 200 or 20,000 people, however it is. We can send out a reverse 911 so that it sends a phone call or text or an email to your phone and say, hey, this is what we have going on. Please follow these directions or look in your backyard for this missing person. So we can literally contact thousands of people in a matter of seconds versus us having to go door to door to door to tell people that. So it's being used more and more. People think it's like an Amber Alert where you're going to get it no matter if it's across the entire state.
That's what I was going to ask right there.
It's not like that. So we are able to kind of like really hone down and set specific parameters. So if we have
an area. Just need one neighborhood or one part of town, you can do that.
Yeah,
or a neighborhood. I mean, we can draw on a map exactly what streets we want to target.
That's amazing.
And anybody that's registered in that area will be the ones to get it. So a lot of people will say, why wasn't I notified? I'm in St. George and the incident was in Washington. It's because, you know, it's not in your area. We need the ones that it's really affecting right then and there. So we're very selective. You're not going to get bombarded with a bunch of messages. And it's just a great tool for us. So we encourage anybody and everybody to go register if you're not already. And then you can save the number in your phone so it doesn't look like spam.
So to get this, you actually have to say, I want this. You can't. It's not just going to happen just because you have a phone.
Right. Yep.
Okay. How do I register then? What's the best way to do it?
Yeah. You just go to 911register.com and put in your information. You can put in
911register.com.
Okay. Yes. 911register.
You can put in home address, work address.
Yep.
Your children's school's address. There's so many different ways that you can be notified of different areas. I mean, if you have, you know, and a work address that's on one side of town and your home address is on the other side of town, you can be notified for both. But yeah. I think it's just important to know that this is just for Washington County. So our dispatch center uses it. And it's only for Washington County. So correct. We're not going to be notifying people that are in Iron County or out of our area things. So it's just right. our dispatch center using it for Washington County.
I think, and that's a good reminder that your dispatch center is for Washington County.
Yes.
It's not the whole county. I mean, yeah. Sheriff and UHP and St. George Police, Washington City Police.
Fire, EMS, FCI, yeah. everything. Yep.
All that.
Yep.
But is the St. George City actually operate and own the dispatch? Is that a St. George City thing? Or
so we are hired through St. George City, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And then all of the other departments pay a dispatching fee into our center.
Yeah.
So
okay.
we're consolidated. So we do everywhere, all the way up from like Enterprise, New Harmony, county line up to Iron County, all the way down to State Line, Arizona, Port of Entry, all the way out to Old 91, if you were to take the back way out to Mesquite, all the way out to Zion National Park, which we actually covered Zion National Park when they're not on duty as well.
Okay.
So I mean,
Apple Valley, Hilldale.
Yeah, we're huge. We're what's considered a consolidated center. So we do all police, fire, medical, a lot of different areas in the state will have one for just fire, just medical, just law, and they'll transfer between. We do it all. So
yesterday they had that big crash just south of Mesquite, Bunkerville, I think. Mm-hmm. is a tanker truck hit a car that had been sitting on the side of the road, and traffic was backed up, I guess, for miles and hours. And but that kind of, as far as the dispatch, that didn't affect you, right? Or did it?
No, that was out of our area. So when you call 911, it's based on your GPS and what cell phone towers you're going to hit. And that one was just out of our area. So we didn't, rarely do we kind of get, I mean, we'll get rollover calls, but it's pretty rare. I think the last time I got a rollover was like the Vegas shooting years ago. We were starting to get calls because there were so many that kind of rolled up into our center. But other than that, it's just our area, typically.
Well, let's answer this text, and then we'll go on to some other stuff. Have you ever talked someone through a baby delivery and then met the parents later?
Anna Lee hates this question because she's never got to.
I have actually delivered a baby.
You've delivered one. Oh, I love it. It's kind of like the golden ticket of dispatch. Like
really,
you've reached
the
your
best thing?
This is your graduation, like we talked about. This is your pinnacle of dispatch.
Nice.
I have four under my belt.
She has four, I have one. So
I have four. Yep. And they are just my favorite calls. They're so chaotic, so crazy. Training comes into play full force on those ones because obviously there's so many unknowns and variables happening. But man, when you hear that baby cry, it's just awesome. They're just my favorite calls.
Yep. Mine, she delivered it in the front seat of her car with her 3-year-old in the back seat.
Yep.
Her husband delivered it. It was the coolest thing. You could hear the little girl. She was like, "Is that my baby brother?" Like it was the cutest thing. I've never met them, but I know I'm sure they're doing great.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
My first one, I had just found out I was pregnant with my first, and it was during Ironman, so they were stuck on SR18. Roads were shut down. They couldn't get through. I mean, it was a hard roadblock. So she had it in the front seat of her car, and I just remember thinking, I'm like, I'm never having this baby. This thing is never coming out of me. No way, Jose. Like, that mom was screaming.
that was before you had kids?
I just found out I was pregnant.
Oh, you were pregnant.
Like, I was maybe, like, 15
somebody's
going
to have to get this thing out, because I'm not going to.
No, I'm like, this thing is staying in me forever after hearing that scream. No way, Jose. I'm not having this thing. And anyways, it was just hilarious. But they're so fun. Yeah, they're our favorite, and it's... You're kind of like the lucky dispatcher if you get one of those because they just are.
Nice.
That's a different
they come with
call.
A cute little stork pin.
Yep.
Depending on the baby's sex and things like that. So it's pretty cool.
By the way, when my wife delivered our first child, we got there just as a lady who had opted to use no drugs.
No.
Go natural, I guess they call it, was delivering, and she was a screamer.
Yep.
And so we're in the next room hearing this lady scream bloody murder for 2 hours, and my wife's like, is there any other way we can do this besides that?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you could take drugs. That would be good.
That's what we hear, though,
My mom had all of her children natural. I tried and got, like, 3 hours in, and I was like, nope, give me the drugs. I ain't doing this.
I'm out. I don't want to play.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
No, all it's right. fun. But, yeah, they're fun. They're awesome. They're celebrated through the whole state. We've had a couple that have done twins. I think two of our dispatchers have got twins before.
Wow.
So those ones are fun. But yeah, it's just
so
awesome.
So how common is something like that where someone is having a baby? Is this like a once a month thing or every 6 months?
No,
or
babies are pretty rare, I feel like.
Yes. Maybe I think that's why they're so sought after. Like, dispatchers want to help deliver babies on phones because it's a rare economy. Yeah. Yeah, it's just super rare.
It's a golden ticket for us. It really is. That sounds so weird, but it's just so rare. Yeah. We hear everything else, but those are just special for sure.
Yeah.
Because those are the happy ending ones. We hear so much like trauma and death and I mean, people's worst. Like I said, the worst of the worst. Yeah. We hear all the hard, but babies, I mean, that's just happy. And for the most part, they're planned or, you know, they know what's coming. So
that's why I guess you guys were talking about wanting maybe to be nurses earlier when you were younger. Probably being a nurse, a maternity nurse would be a pretty
that
good spot there when we're watching life get formed.
That's
at the
actually
moment.
Where I was wanting to go.
Really?
Labor and delivery.
Give me all the trauma. I love ER. I'd want to see it all.
ER nurse. Ooh.
I want to see it all. And still would just hear it. It's great, though. But yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the reverse 911 thing again. You said it is not something that you automatically get. You need to go sign up for it.
Yep. Yes. Please sign up. Please,
I think my wife has signed us up for it, but I'm going to double check now. 911register.com is the name of it.
Yep.
Okay. And everyone should do it, right?
Everybody.
I mean, there's no reason not to.
No. And like I said, it's so secluded to our, not secluded, but just set to our area.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting busier. I know people like to think St. George is small, still small town.
We do want it.
Definitely not.
It is not. It is growing so fast and so rapid, and we just have to be able to reach people. And I feel like the types of calls are getting more and more
serious, intense.
Like they're definitely just not what they were even 14 years ago or 22 years ago. You know what I mean? So we are just busy. Our lines before 10 years ago, we could have time between phone calls. Now our phones are ringing pretty much all the time at any given time. Like we're busy. And so for us to be able to reach that many people or get an incident out, and also it gives you the correct information that we need you to know. Like I said, social media, Facebook, things like that. There's a lot of speculation and people scan the radios if they can and things like that. So they're just getting bits and pieces. And so then misinformation gets put out into the world and then it becomes more and more chaos. And then people go to the crime scenes or they want to drive by and looky-loo. So will give us exactly what we need you to know and how to help us and help the situation for us to get it better. Because we just want every situation to be resolved as fast as we can and keep everybody safe and everybody go home safe. So this is the tool that we use to be able to do that for our first responders and everybody out in the community too. It helps keep everybody safe, truly.
Yes.
All right. So I just looked at the clock and I've got to get a commercial break in, but I did want to ask you some pointed questions about when we should and should not call 911, because I have a feeling you guys have some little wisdom to share with us about that. And we'll get to that right after we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
You are certainly welcome to call on the program. I've got Annalee and Julie here from the St. George Dispatch. And thank you, two, for coming. I really appreciate you
being
here.
Thank you for having us.
If you want to call 673-5890, if you want to text me, I get a lot of texts, it seems like, anymore. More texts than calls. It's 467-5842 if you'd like to text. Those are both 435 area codes. So
you can text us, too, with that.
That's right.
Did you know that? 911.
You can text 911.
You can.
I didn't know that. We got to get you talking to the mic again, Julie.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know.
There we go.
If you'll push that little thing on the top of it in a little further, too.
There
that would. There we go. All right.
Oh,
we are in business.
Hey, there you are.
Yeah. I'm right here.
So, I before we went to the break, I was like, okay, there's got to be some rules, or maybe not hard and fast rules, but rules, basics of whether or not we should call 911. Do you guys have some? I'm going to leave it kind of open-ended and let you answer it, because I could say, well, what if I cut my finger, or what if I cut my hand off? Or, you know, are there some kind of guidelines for you?
So there's something that we teach the kids. So I guess it's kind of very basic. So maybe we'll just start with that. So if you need to report a crime in progress.
Of course. Yeah, that's a good one.
Report any medical things going on. So anybody that's injured or needs an ambulance.
Say, what if someone's choking on a hot dog?
That would be 911.
Yeah, okay. All the time. We have hot dogs. Chew your hot dogs, people. I don't know how else to say that. Chew your hot dogs.
And so, carrots.
Yeah,
and
there's something that's needed, medical attention needed to save somebody's life. Obviously, you're going to call 911. Okay. And then to report a fire. So if you see a fire, you can call 911 to report it.
Yep. Okay. What about, say I cut myself and it's relatively serious. Like I have a little one right here on my thumb I did the other day, but that one obviously not. But what if I maybe gashed my arm and I'm bleeding pretty good? Is that something I go, I better call 911?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll never get in trouble for 911. And I think people get nervous because like, is this 911 worthy?
You're right. No,
like,
yeah.
Is this, am I wrong to call 911 for this? You'll never get in trouble. And we'll tell you, hey, you know what? Calling on emergency number for this, we only have so many 911 lines. That's what people think. We don't have an unlimited amount. So we only have so many allotted for 911. And then we have the non-emergency numbers all come to the same dispatch center. We're going to answer the same phones. We just answer those 911s priority. First. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're our first calls that we do answer if they're ringing. So you'll never get in trouble for 911, but I think it's just important to like use your best judgment. If your car just got stolen, and I mean like within seconds, or you've been,
just drove off. I watched
somebody
drive off.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. But if it's like something that happened overnight and your car's long gone, you don't know how long it's been, you can call a non-emergency number for that. So just use your best judgment and kind of gauge it to where you think, you know, if it's in progress, that's the word we use.
The in progress part.
In progress,
the
happening
most important
right
part.
Now to help us help you get that information quick.
Mm-hmm. So say my wife and I go out to dinner and a movie, we get home 3 hours later and somebody has burglarized our place. Is that 911 worthy?
If you think somebody's in your house, sure.
No, they're gone. Like
they're gone.
Also
I
know.
Yeah,
and
then I wouldn't. Yeah.
I would call non-emergency.
I would call non-emergency.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but if it's a medical, any type, like even if it's a cut, I mean, who knows to say how serious your cut is on your arm, and you could hit an artery, and you know. But yeah, use your best judgment. We'll never say no.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. Absolutely. Yeah. If you see something, say something. I know a lot. That's a term that's thrown out a lot for officers.
Yeah.
Yes. If you see something, say something, call us. But just know that if we think it's not a in progress or priority at this very second, we might kick you to a non-emergency line or put you on hold for just a second and then we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Okay, makes sense. All right, let's talk a little bit about, it's the time of year where we all want to be out on the trails, hiking and climbing mountains and doing outdoorsy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people, Daryl Cash is probably laughing right now. A lot of people,
It was a sad day.
They go out and they didn't bring water or not much water. They didn't bring, you know, maybe a jacket and it's going to get cold. They're unprepared, I guess, is what usually happens.
Yes.
And then even if they don't get injured, but maybe they get out there too far and they realize, I'm not going to be able to make it back.
Yeah.
So take us through one of those types of situations. If someone calls you and they're out in the wilderness somewhere, and I say wilderness, but, you know, out on a trail somewhere or whatever, what happens with you guys on your end?
So this is when we launch our search and rescue, and this is something we did want to talk about because they are picking up more and more this time of year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's definitely that time of year where we're paging them out more frequently. So our biggest thing is to be able to get the information, and we know that in those secluded areas or kind of out in the desert or something, it's hard for us to get a good cell phone signal to where you're at. So that's our biggest number one thing. 911, what's the address of your emergency? That's the first question we ask any single person that ever calls 911. What is the address of your emergency? And a lot of people don't know where they're at particularly.
Right.
So
but they might know the trailhead.
They know the trailhead. So be aware of your surroundings. Know where your trailhead starts, where you parked your car, things like that to kind of give us a starting point. And more often than not, we can usually get pretty good GPS on you. Technology is exploding in today's world. So we're able to get really good GPS. But then stay on the line and try and answer questions because we don't know when that call is going to drop. We don't know if you're going to have good service. We don't know if we're going to be able to get any information from you. So I think that's the biggest thing is just answer our questions. And there are specific questions that we'll ask that we'll relay to our search and rescue teams that determine what kind of team we're sending out to you. High angle ropes team, swift water rescue. Mm. Do we need to launch a helicopter? Like search and rescue, life flight, things like that. So there's a lot of different questions that we ask, particularly for those situations, and then we can move forward with it. So the biggest thing is stay where you're at so we can get good GPS on you. Don't move. Don't
stay
go running around.
Where you are.
That's the biggest thing.
Around.
I think people are like, oh, I'll try to find the way out while people are on the way. No.
Yeah,
like, you moving definitely does not help us. It actually hinders the fast response for our our people to find you. So remembering to stay where you're at and knowing which trail you're on, I think are the two biggest things.
Yes. Don't use your cell phone anymore. Do not sit there and scroll Facebook while you're waiting for help, because we need your cell phone battery.
I'm bored. I'm going to go on X.
It's so funny how people, and we do ask, hey, what's your cell phone battery at? Because if we need to re-ping your cell phone or re-track it to get better GPS or try and get a hold of you again for more information, we need to know you have cell phone service. And people, it dies so fast when it's in that out of range mode that that's a big thing. Is we do ask, how good is your cell phone battery? How much water do you have? What resources do you have with you?
Food, like
water. Are you dressed appropriately for the weather conditions? Where it's getting more and more warm, I feel like clothing isn't as bad. Cold weather is more hard on those.
Yes.
But weather, dehydration. We had one yesterday. We had a dehydrated hiker, got too far out, and
I think people don't realize that it gets hot, and when you're hiking
so
and
fast.
Exerting, you've got to replenish that your fluids. So, seriously. I think another thing that's important to know is there are areas in Washington County that you can go hike that you don't have great cell phone service to make a phone call, and if you do get lost, you can usually still get a text out. So you can text 911. We do have capabilities here in our center to receive 911 texts. So you can text and say,
I'm
lost.
So just do a regular text and then send it to 911.
911. Yes. And it comes straight to us. And we'll text you back. We have a conversation with you.
Hey, I got this. We're working on it kind of thing. And
Just last week we had one out in Zion National Park. It was in a really spotty cell service area. It was on a turn. And we kept getting a 911 call, but we never got any voice to it. I took probably three or four from this particular number. I'm like, man, this is real. We just were sending. We don't know what we're going into. Mm. And then all of a sudden a text came through and it said we had somebody fall off a 70-foot cliff. And by then we could have a conversation with this caller, say, okay, how old is our patient? Are they stuck on the cliff? Do we need to send in our high angle team? And what are patient status? I mean, is this person alive? Are we doing life-saving measures via text message? CPR, that would be a first. I haven't done CPR over text, but that would be fun.
But anyways, we do have the capability of receiving text for 911.
That's pretty cool.
So if you can't call, try to text for sure. Because we're still able to get those.
It seems to me the advent of technology has really helped you guys a lot. But also, I guess, since there's so many phones, everybody has a phone.
Everybody has phones nowadays. Mm-hmm.
It also has made your job a little bit harder at times, too, right?
It can. Yeah. Like we said before, people don't realize that all phones still call 911, even if they're deactivated. So parents will hand a kid, like, I've done it. I've given my kid a deactivated cell phone.
Because
they can still watch Netflix and stuff in the car on it. But those still call 911. Yeah.
Yep.
The old battery cell phone is, if it has power, it can call. The only bad thing with those is we can't trace those calls. If it's not an activated phone, we cannot get accurate GPS on those lines. So it's a little bit harder. And so when a kid has that and is calling constantly, normally we can find where they're at and send an officer say, hi, can you put that phone away for us, please? but those ones, it just makes it a little bit more tricky for us to be able to find it and tell them to stop calling, because it does take up 911 lines. And like I said, we only have so many. And if there is one kid just calling over and over and over thinking they're playing on the phone, then it's a real thing. So,
are there peak times for 911 dispatchers to be getting calls? Is it, you know, Saturday night, or is it, you know, a weekday afternoon? Are there peak times?
I think so. Especially we have, like, even during the day, we have our rush hour accidents.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
like a restaurant, right?
Hour. People are going to work, not paying attention. The sun's bright in people's eyes. So we get a lot of accidents first thing in the morning. And then we kind of get our secretary. We call them secretary calls, but they're not. But can you transfer me to this number, evidence, things like that. So
you get those 911?
Yeah, well, we answer the non-emergency lines, too.
Oh, you answer
whole police department, And then back during the day, we get kind of rush hour back at night, people going home. And then at night is when, you know, people come home, start getting agitated from work, they start drinking or whatever, and then start the other kind of crazy calls. So different. See, we call it seasons. Like, it's accident season, search and
I think it depends on different activities and stuff going on, too.
For sure.
So weekend, Easter weekend, was there a lot of partying going on? Did you guys have to deal with that?
The last month or so, there's been a lot of, just because there's spring breaks bringing people in, it's been chaotic for sure. Oh, man.
It's been so busy.
What would you say is the percentage of, not percentage, but the number of people who are here as kind of Airbnb, you know, the people that are here for the weekend or just here for a week or whatever? Do you get a lot of those more than, as many as citizens or?
Yeah, I think so.
A lot of them, huh?
It's just busy during spring break and tournaments. And I swear there's always a tournament down here, whether baseball or soccer. It's just busy. Like I said, St. George is not small anymore. And we're just trying to keep up with it in our general town. So every weekend when we get that influx of people for whatever reason, it's just busy all the time.
Yeah, we definitely staff our center higher on the weekends.
Sure. Definitely.
And the county, you say St. George, but the county, mm-hmm. I think St. George is like 109,000 now. The county's 225,000. Mm-hmm. So, and you guys are responsible for the whole county.
Yep.
So,
yeah, think about it. There's only 8 of us in the center during the day. 8 of us working. 8, sometimes
7,
9.
7, 8.
Yeah, 7, 8, depending on the day. So, 8 against 200,000.
Yeah.
Like, we're outnumbered. So, that's why we have to use any and all resources that we can to make our jobs quick and easy.
We're talking with St. George Dispatch today. One more commercial break. We'll be back right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
This is the Andy Griffin Show here on KDXU, and I'm lucky today to have a couple of beautiful ladies here, Anna Lee Stoker and Julie Packer.
Yeah,
you're too nice, Andy. Yeah,
thank you for coming today, both of you. Really appreciate
that. Thank you for having us. Yeah.
One of the things I always wondered about with dispatchers, how do you calm someone down? People call, and as you mentioned it a little earlier, Julie, this is maybe their worst moment of their life to this point. They are freaking out. They're panicking. Maybe someone they love is having a heart attack, or they've cut themselves, or whatever it is, they're in a car crash. How do you get them to stop freaking out?
You want to take this one?
Sure.
I love it.
So I think the number one thing is we get their name and you start calling them by name. We have a term that we teach our new dispatchers, and it's called repetitive persistence.
Repetitive persistence. Okay.
And so it's saying, you know, Andy, take a deep breath. Okay, mm-hmm. Andy, I'm with you. Take a deep breath.
Well, now I want to do that because
right.
You're telling me.
Yes. Okay, yeah. But it's just things like that. Or giving them, saying their name and giving them an action, something to do. It kind of takes their mind, kind of pulls them out of that intense moment and helps direct them where you, what, you know, you're basically directing the call. Yeah, bringing them back to reality and getting
the information. What if that isn't really working, or they're fighting you on it and saying, what do you mean take a deep breath? They're dying right there and you want me to take a breath? You know, I mean, then what do you do?
Honestly, you just keep going.
It.
Yeah, you just keep doing it.
Get somebody. Yeah. Yeah. It's so
if there's,
hard.
And also if there's somebody else on scene that you can, okay, is there somebody else there with you? Can I talk to your wife, you know, can I talk to whoever else is there? And maybe that person's a little more calm and can kind of help calm the situation because they know that person. Right. It just depends on the situation. But I think for us, letting them know that somebody's on the way, this is not stalling that. Mm-hmm. We're helping until the responders can get there, I think, is something that's helped me too. I don't know if you have anything else, Julie.
No, I think it's hard because their worst day is our every day. Mm. So, and everything seems bigger when it's happening.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong, some stuff is horrible and traumatic and we deal with that all day, every day. But a lot of stuff, okay, give us basic information. Like Annalie said, we've got help on the way. This isn't holding them up. Our center is so fast at sending.
Very efficient.
Very efficient. I mean, we usually have calls in within 20 seconds from the time we get the phone call. We already know where you are and are sending, whether we know what the situation is or not.
Okay.
We are very, very fast in our center with technology and things like that. So we already have help on the way. And people, I think, they think because we're asking questions, especially on like a medical call or something like that, we do have protocols and things that we legally have to ask you.
Okay.
So it feels like a long time and it feels like we're not sending, but they're already on their way. So I think that's, like, honestly, just telling people that they're
So you're talking to me.
coming. Yeah, help is coming.
Trying to calm me down.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, your other hand, you're over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're already going.
They're already on the way.
So the person who answers the phone is not the one who's dispatching that call. Somebody else is doing that for us. So when I'm answering the call, you have my undivided attention. Like, it is me and you on that phone call, and your emergency is now my emergency, and I'm with you till the bitter end or until somebody's there to take over.
Okay.
So it's
I think that's a great thing about our center. We kind of talked about it earlier, but we're in one large room. So we can hear if she's taking an intense call and she's having to use that repetitive persistence, I'm going to know that there's something going on and I really need to, like, as soon as that call pops up, I'm going to definitely get people on the way because it's going to help her get there. People getting there faster. So
we have spidey senses. We're always listening to the conversations, even though we're not directly in the conversation. You kind of know what's going on in the center and helping each other. If you hear somebody start counting to four, you're like, oh, we've got CPR.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 4. And so we're just, but to get a caller calmed down, it's just hard because everything is different and you never know what's going to be on the other end of that line and how they're going to handle it. If was it an expected event or unexpected, obviously sometimes it's not. And I mean, I had bless her heart. She called a non-emergency line. I mean, it was just a casual St. George Police. How can I help you? And she goes, I think I need an ambulance. And you're like, okay, what's going on? She goes, well, I put super glue in my eyes thinking it was eye drops.
Oh no.
I'm like, why didn't you call 911? Like, that's a 911 for everybody in case you're wondering. But she just was calm as day. And then the next call was a barking dog on a 911 line. So it's just a matter of knowing your situation and calming people down and their demeanor. And we can kind of gauge them. And we're trained in that to critical incident training to be able to calm people down with that. So
question here. Who dispatches Gold Cross Ambulance? I don't know why they asked that specifically.
We do.
Gold Cross is the ambulance in the area, right?
Yes. For St. George.
Yeah. We dispatch Gold Cross in our county.
Yep.
They do have their own dispatch center in Salt Lake that they take calls for like their long distance transports and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But 911 calls, we dispatch them.
Yep.
Okay. I had a question. I'm going to say a word, and I want to get your reaction. The word is closure. You guys get these calls. You hear about this incident. How do you, or does it even matter later on when you find out how the incident was resolved? Do you try to find that out? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in the media news business, and I can tell you not very many stories, those type of stories, actually make the news. We just don't have time to do all that stuff. Yeah. So what do you guys do when you need closure?
Honestly, closure doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
I think
would be hard. Wouldn't
yes.
It?
Yeah. It can be, but knowing that we did our job and did everything that we could, the best that we could, I think is kind of been closure for myself. We aren't afraid to ask the officers that responded or the ambulance personnel, hey, how did this go? If it was something that was intense that we're like, okay, we just need to know to like get past
put
it
that in a box.
Then yeah, we can definitely do that.
It's definitely changing over the years. Like even 10, 14 years ago when I started, I mean, we didn't ask. Like dispatchers just took the next call and put that in a box and moved on. But it's getting better. Dispatchers are getting more and more recognized to be able to realize that we're part of that. And we hear that trauma and we have PTSD and things like that. It's definitely becoming more and more well known. So we get to go to the critical incident debriefs. It's a truly...
Oh, really?
Yeah, we get to go with the officers and paramedics and firefighters and be a part of that. Tell our story, hear their story, because it really does give you closure. Because if you build all that up, you're bound to break and explode. And so they've been a lot better just nationally to include dispatchers in those debriefs and things like that to help give us that closure to be able to help us move on and take that next call. Because you have triggers. Stuff will trigger you that you don't even realize.
But you said, Annalie, it doesn't always happen, though. Sometimes
it doesn't
you're
always
just
happen.
Left wondering.
Yep.
Nope.
That's got to be hard.
Some days are harder than others.
That's got to be hard to just have it out there, hanging out there, knowing I'll never know. I'll never know.
That's the great thing about knowing that you did your job. You did everything you could to the best you could, and you played your part. And
that's a good point.
No matter the outcome.
Yep.
Well, I hope I never have to call you guys in a business setting. I don't know that I've ever had to call 911. I guess maybe I've been first on scene at traffic accidents, and that would have been a situation where I did. But for the most part, but it is sure good to know that there are big, strong, solid people, not big, but strong, solid people who are there to make sure we're going to be okay. We appreciate you guys.
We've got you. Really, we really do. Our center's great. We've got you in your emergency. Give us a call. We'll get you through it.
Love it. Thank you, Julie, Annalie. Appreciate
Thank
you.
You. Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow. Water Conservancy guys on, so that'll be fun.